The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to my brother, me, an advice show for the modern era. Around these parts, they call me Justin McElroy. I'm your oldest brother.
I'm your middlest brother, and people know me as Travis McElroy, for as far as they know.
Oh, and I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy. You might know my deep web username as Bitcoin Skrillex Dog Boner 420 69 69. Boys, I wanted to talk to you guys about something that is, it's a new sort of concern, a new interest, a new worldview that I've only sort of recently adopted, but it has become basically instantly very, very important to me, basically all consuming. Because I don't know about how you guys feel, but like I've been looking at the success of our show and just the millions that we're making off of it. And I'm thinking about like, I'm trying to think about like what we've given back. Just with the money. Like, the money's fucking ours, obviously. But like, there's
they'll get their cut with the estate tax,
right? I think you mean the Barack Hussein Obama's death tax.
You know, a lot of people forget about the Hussein.
A lot of people do, and I think it's important. Anyway, there's a concern that I want to talk about, and I think it's like a way that the three of us can really channel our power and use it for good, use our broad reach for good. I want to talk to you about a Twitter user who tweeted at me a little over 1 hour ago. And this Twitter user's handle is BubbleJug1.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, you may remember BubbleJug as being I'm going to put quotes, big heavy quotes, bold, all caps quotes, candy made by Nestle, part of the Hubba Bubba franchise. And it was bubble gum that came in a powdered form in a little nasty jug.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, yeah, nasty jug.
Yeah, you remember that skank jug.
You remember that skanky jug full of that basically gum dirt that you would put in your mouth and then keep it there like a chore until gum happened?
Uh-huh. It was like space age, the dipping dots of gum.
Yeah, it was certainly dipping because it was gum-based snus, and it was as delicious as that sounds. I would love to sing for you the ballad of Bubble Jug, this Twitter user who has at this moment 5 tweets, and the 5 tweets starts off just sort of a shot across the fucking America's bow. It is time for the global community to finally put their minds toward a goal worthy of our genius. Hubba Bubba, bring back Bubble Jug. Just like putting that out there. And then in a separate tweet, hashtags, bring back Bubble Jug and Jug Life. So they know exactly what they're doing here. By the way, if you take this segment as like you're gonna fucking make revive Taste Station's Twitter account and start haranguing, it's not, this is a once in a lifetime lightning in a bottle. This was a perfect series of tweets.
Griffin, can I recommend a name for the movement or for the group that's in the movement?
I mean, Jug Life is already very good, but go ahead.
Bubble Juggalos?
It's very, very good also.
Also very good. Damn it.
So a little over an hour ago, I got a tweet from Bubble Jug. It said, as a true visionary DM and father of digital monsters, you should get behind our movement to bring back Bubble Jug. Hashtag Jug Life. That's great.
Wait, so is Bubble Jug no number taken? Is there already an at Bubble Jug, so they had to be Bubble Jug 1?
I mean, Nestle probably has it locked down. So that somebody doesn't misrepresent the brand, because like they'll never bring it back.
It's an egg. Bubble Jug's an egg.
Is it tweeting like mean things that like?
Nope, nothing.
Women in the games industry. Nope.
Take this, fucking Bazooka Joe.
Bubble Jug has two other tweets, and these tweets are to two other people, and they are. I'm honored to be like among this sort of assembly of people that Bubble Jug 1 thinks is capable of getting this brand just breathing our the sweet creative breath of life back into the lungs of the Bubble Jug brand, because that list, according to Bubble Jug One, is myself and then Sean Puffy Combs,
mm-hmm. right?
And then of course Lil Wayne, the littlest of Waynes.
Have the three of you gotten together for your G8 summit this year yet, or is that happening like in the spring?
We just call ourselves the three G's, and you know that
they call it the GR8 summit. It's not great, and they they're getting the jug up and running.
I mean, this has certainly moved up my. Oh, Justin, I see you've gone ahead and followed Bubble Jug One.
No fucking question. Absolutely, Griffin. One thing that I like about Bubble Jug, and it's hard to pick just one, but. What I like about it is that you think about the four first tweets as like a volume one of this Twitter account.
All these happened on May 24th.
Yeah.
The first four.
They said, okay, I'm bringing back Bubble Jug. Great start. Here's some hashtags for the movement. Cool. And they said, I'm going to get the global community to put their minds towards this. I gotta get some attention. Who are some people I know that can help bring back Bubble Jug? Well, Lil Wayne, got it. Okay, Puff Daddy, I'm out. That's it. Those are the two that I can come up with. Hopefully, I'll come up with somebody else soon. 5 days later, what about Griffin? Gotta get Griffin on board.
First of all, Bubble Jug One, I appreciate your enthusiasm. I am considering your offer. I would love to. I'd love to leave a legacy. I've been listening to a lot of Hamilton, and that's basically what this is about.
Sure. You want something that's gonna outlive you.
Mm-hmm. My sweet dusty gum.
Your Bubble Juggery.
I would love to read the product details on the candystore.com website. Untwist the cap to access the candy gum hidden inside. Pour them in your hand or directly into your mouth to taste deliciously sweet bubble gum flavor. Bubble jugs are very different from pieces or sticks of gum. Each contains a powder candy. When chewed, the candy turns into bubble gum. It's almost like having two confections in one. Eat my asshole, candy store website. If I put the dust in my mouth, mm-hmm. and just thinking about that is like, I'm getting like shaky thinking about that sensation of the dust going into the mouth. The dust, that's the worst part. Once you get, it should say that on the candy store website. You're going to put the dust in your mouth, but eventually gum will be there where it wasn't. And like, it is an imperfect gum delivery mechanism, because essentially what we're talking about is I'm using my mouth to cook the gum up. Yeah. My mouth is a little gummy oven.
Your mouth's the kiln from which this gum will be fused.
I'm Jim Nestle. Lately, we've noticed that a lot of the sweepings left on the old gum-making floor have just been going to waste. Well, I said enough of that. Here's what we do at Bubble Jug HQ. We sweep up all these gum leavings, we put them into a jug, and then you make the gum. This is a task we endeavor on together.
The jug's the thing, isn't it? Because they couldn't just make a little bag.
Ziploc baggies full of bubble dust.
Yeah, that's not great. So whoever thought of like this is the worst idea for anything to ever go into your mouth ever. But somebody was like, well, if we put it in a fucking jug, and we call it Bubble Jug, and
they,
we don't advertise.
Do you think they have the jugs from something else? They're like, well, we had all these jugs because we were gonna do like just jugs full of chocolate syrup, but like. Nobody wanted to buy that.
Nobody wanted that because it sounds bad. Bubble Jug One, your cause is true. Your cause is righteous.
So
and I want you to hang in there. Maybe, and this is just like, I'm not like an expert. I think like the change.org petitions are like that whole sort of idea is just that's not really how the stuff works. But I will say that just one good starting point is to maybe tweet this at the people who made the terrible gum to begin with. Because they might have they are the ones who have their hand on the assembly line switch to reactivate the bubblegum protocols.
They might be like the guy from the Rock of Fire Explosion documentary where they're just like sitting on a warehouse full of bubble jugs and they don't know what to do with them because they don't think there's any demand for it.
Exactly. This looks like fleshy sand. This looks like what came out of the mummy in the movie The Mummy when he opened his mouth.
It's what's left over if you bake Clayface.
If you baked Clayface? When you punch a fucking putty right in the old Z and they disintegrate, they turn into bubble jug. Fuck this candy.
I hope when you die, when you go to those pearly gates in St. Peter's there, he's got a pie chart, and he makes you go excruciatingly wedge by wedge through how you spent your life minutes. And with this person, he's going to get to a slice where he's like, now we come to my tastiest slice of all. This is where you spent your life minutes making a Twitter account to bring back Bubble Jug. And I got to tell you, me and the man upstairs, just everybody, we're really big fans of this. This was when we made you from like clay and dust.
Well, and Bubble Jug?
And Bubble Jug. The one thing we hoped you guys would really do is invent Bubble Jug, cancel Bubble Jug, and then try to bring Bubble Jug back.
That was your 40 days in the wilderness was the time without you.
Right. Well,
okay, just I want to move on because we've been talking for 10 minutes about it. Long dead candy. But the day they flipped the switch on the Bubble Jug factory.
Oompa Loompas out of business.
And everybody left and everybody was sad. There was somebody left over who had to destroy all the Bubble Jug. And you tell me how they accomplished that. How do you destroy that which has been so utterly decimated? And this is basically gum that has been humiliated.
That was actually what they used in Are You Afraid of the Dark to get the flare-ups in the fire. Not a lot of people know that.
That was powdered coffee creamer.
Well, shit.
Okay, let's do a show.
Here's our first question. This is an advice show, by the way. We take your questions and turn them alchemy-like into wisdom. I have a bat flying around my apartment. I've locked myself in my room, but I need to leave it eventually for work and shit. I figured in your infinite wisdom. That's pretty sad commentary on our audience that this question asker thought that they needed to clarify why they would need to leave their apartment ever.
Yeah.
I figured in your infinite wisdom, you'd be able to tell me how to rid my apartment of this befangled night bird. Please help. That's from Not a Bat Girl.
It's actually befanged nightbird, but I love the term befangled.
That's what you got. All these new gadget bats. All these new befangled bats everywhere.
The one time I've had a bat in the house, our dad dressed up like a horseshit Batman in a windbreaker. And a balaclava and like goggles and a tennis racket. I thought it was a broom. It might have been a tennis racket.
I think he was dual wielding.
He was dual wielding.
Yeah, that was his spec in college.
He was swinging wildly at this thing, and I don't know if you guys remember what happened next, but our very old cat Sasha, who was like basically on her very last legs at this point, leapt vertical 2 feet off the couch, snatched that motherfucker out of the air, and brought it to its final reward. And the cat took care of it. So that would be my one first advice would be like to go the Fred Penner route. Old lady swallowed a bat or swallowed a cat to get the bat.
Well, none of us swallowed Sasha after
your apartment would swallow a cat. The bat is what I'm saying. Now I might get rabies from it is what I know. One thing about it, one problem.
If you think about it, the bat's not very big, and your apartment is probably relatively large compared to the bat. Maybe you just have like a new shitty roommate. I've had worse roommates than that.
You know, that's how they measure the like square footage. They don't use that to measure spaces anymore. It's just if you get on Zillow, it's like this home is 350,000 bats.
It's measured in cubats.
Travis, that's almost a Pokemon.
Better than this.
I'm not.
It's true. It's a good point.
Thank you.
How do you get rid of a bat?
Jesus. I'm doing a Waka Waka thing, but you can't see that.
I really enjoy the idea that this person is just huddled in a corner waiting for this podcast episode to drop, praying that we don't go late for Memorial Day.
Please help. Love, a skeleton.
So hungry.
The bat's not going to hurt you, but that doesn't matter. I know that the big, big mouse that lives in my garage isn't going to hurt me, but I am still very afraid of him or her.
Travis, are you a mouse guy?
No.
I love Mouse Hunt with Nathan Lane.
I have a theory that everybody breaks down into mice or spider guys. Like you're a spider guy or you're a mouse guy or lady or a spider lady.
I vote no on to all.
See, spiders are like not, I don't even, Spiders, I don't trip with spiders. Like, that's fine. I'll put them on. I'll get a sheet of construction paper, scoot them onto it, take them out to freedom outside. That does not bother me. Mice can fuck right off.
See, for me, I'm just like, not a small furry thing that suddenly comes out of nowhere and moves inhumanly.
So mice.
Your spiders, your bats, snakes, lizards, no problem. Got nothing.
Borrowers.
Borables.
I watched a giant groundhog out my yard, and I was watching him sort of with novelty at first because it was like,
man, fuck yeah,
that's awesome. Look at that big groundhog. I've never seen one of these. This is amazing. I'm looking at a groundhog, and then I had a moment where I was like, God damn it, it's a big rat, and I fucking flipped.
Can you imagine if Justin saw a capybara in the wilds?
Holy shit. Well, he would be fine. Because he wouldn't get a second alone with that capybara if I was around.
Don't bother me. Don't bother me at all to see rodentia in their natural habitat, which is to say not my home. I do not care to see, like, I don't care if squirrels are cruising around outside getting those acorns and nuts. That's fine. I just don't want them in my home.
You like them when they're doing hard work and preparation.
Every one of God's creatures in their place. That's all I'm saying. How do you get rid of a bat?
Here, we've been fucking dancing around this issue, and I think I've got it. You just make a little trail of bananas out the front door. And this is a good piece. This is going to be the new pack your bags and move away. Because there's so many problems you can solve with you get just a big trail of bananas.
But
going out the front door, you got a roommate you don't like? Just banana trap them.
Griffin, I'm sorry, but you're being short-sighted. Because you're just as likely to draw in a chimpanzee.
You made a bat landing strip out of bananas.
I was trying to get rid of a bat, and I got 8 more bats. Now I got 9 bats.
And a monkey.
A chimpanzee came in. I've got that scene from Ace Ventura where everything comes out of everywhere.
We got 2 Dunstans and a Kirk Cameron in here, man. It's rough stuff.
Wait, what?
Kirk Cameron loves bananas?
Now, I would have to say that that monkey would temporarily fix your problem. Because, like, there's no way a monkey's going to be cool with a bat cruising his nanas. I can't get off my nanas.
I would rather have a monkey, too, because it's easier to keep track of. It's less likely that I lose sight of a monkey.
But if you do lose sight of that monkey, it's a risk-reward scenario.
Sure.
You lose sight of the bat, then you just have the constant dread of, like, there's a bat somewhere, and I don't know. But if you lose sight of a monkey, it's like, oh my God, this is it.
But that's why I have the motivational poster that says never lose sight of the monkey.
Yeah. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
I'd love that.
I have a lot of really good ones. Thank you to everybody who sent in Yahoos. If you wouldn't mind, if you could just sort of fucking flood me with your Yahoos, because we got live shows coming up this weekend.
Yeah, same for regular questions, please.
Yeah, just send those to, what do we prefer, mabimbam@maximumfun.org?
Yes.
That's fine.
I certainly appreciate the help, all my Yahoo warriors. This one was sent in by CJ Seitz Brown. It's from Yahoo Answers user Love I, who asks, the backward, misunderstandable line of Work It by Missy Elliott. I tried a lot to understand, listen carefully about the lines in this song, which Missy sings in backwards, but I wasn't able to understand a thing, and all the lyrics website has wrong lyrics. What does she say when she sings, is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it. ?
Can I just say how fucking bold it is to be like, I don't know what it is, but I know that these lyric sites are wrong?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Can anyone, and then if you've got a big elephant noise, is that the radio edit or is that in the proper dirty cut? Is it like hog? If you've got a big ding-a-ling, let me search it to find how hard I gotta work ya. ? Can anyone fill out the ? Lines, please?
Wait, hold on. Excuse me, Miss Elliot. Are you proposing that based on the size of my wiener, you have to work me harder or less?
I don't want to get too blue, but Miss Elliot, that's simply not how it works.
How big is it? Clear my schedule.
He's got a sizable Dumbo. This is going to take all
afternoon.
I actually
don't know. What is it? Inverse? The bigger, the harder. The smaller, the harder. I don't know, Miss Elliot. I do not know.
Now, off the top of your head, do you guys actually know the answer to this?
I mean, it's something, it's whatever the song is in reverse, but that's not fun.
Well, I think we should give the actual, like, we should
I think
it.
Maybe we save it until after we do the jokes.
I like to establish the walls.
Okay. And then you let us joke inside of them.
But this would, Justin, it would be like a choose your own adventure in which you said, do you want to go in the cave? If you do, by the way, you'll die.
I just want to, like, I want to say that this question, reading it, has made me realize that when I sing along with this song, I definitely sing something there. Like, my mouth definitely makes sounds when I'm in the car and I'm fucking bumping work it. My mouth...
My lyrics are, it's your flippin' nippets ran yet in them.
Yeah.
That's a,
okay.
That's about right, right?
It's yours flippy nippy flam lam yipple is what I do.
It's yours flippin' nippy now and wow, we know.
And so, like...
Mine's more like I have a mouthful of peanut butter.
If I were to transcribe that, I'm a lucky individual for several reasons, but mostly because one of my friends never, like, stopped the CD and said, say that again. Say that dumb shit you just said. It's yours, flimmy, nimmy, flam, yam, yipple. What do you even think you're doing, Griffin? Words have meetings. Actions have consequences.
This is from the same person, though, and indeed the same track that invented basically the phrase badonkadonk and just said it and just trusted that everybody else would catch up to her level. Like, come on my level. I'm calling it the badonkadonk now.
Why don't I call my penis my flam lam yipple? Why didn't that catch on?
I think that that's my favorite thing about any, like, rap R&B music is that context is so wonderful that oftentimes people will say stuff that's like, I've never heard. It's like Shakespeare. They've never heard the word before, but I definitely know what they meant.
Betwixt my flam lam yipples. Mine treasure. I don't think this question has much more legs. Just wanted to bring it up. It's an unsolved mystery.
That's a good one. What do you guys want to do next?
We could talk more about...
I want a Munch Squad!
Oh, fucking... All right.
I want a Munch Squad!
Can we just... Have we tracked...
Want to Munch Squad!
Munch Squad!
Have you tracked the engagement on Munch Squad? Because, like, listen, here's I'm a fan of Munch Squad, Justin. The food, the jokes, it's great. It's hilarious. I mean, me and my kids, they love it. I just want to make sure that when we introduce a new segment, and maybe this can be what I bring to Munch Squad, is I just want to make sure we've got the metrics and we're tracking and we're responsible.
I definitely, if you're listening to this right now, just tweet about Munch Squad. I haven't really gotten anybody tweet. What I'm kind of was hoping for, people be like, here's a candidate for the squad. And I'd be like... You mean the Munch Squad? It's a little early to be shortening it. It took me a long time to come up.
Shouldn't it be Munch Bunch?
No, that's
a cereal. No. Get the fuck out of here. See, that's why I'm here. If you called it Munch a Bunch, this thing would be dead on the vine. Because
Munch
is the cereal thing. I'm confused. So when I'm confused by something, I hate it.
Okay, everybody hop in the car with me. We're going to drive on down Route 10, go past the New Huntington High School. We're going to turn right here past the Marathon, and if you see the Arby's, you've gone too far, because we're pulling into Wendy's.
Oh, God. Here. I thought we were going to Bob Evans there for a second. I got worried.
No. That's over in Kinetic Park to the left.
Are we going to the world's last Ponderosa?
No, that's over on Route 60, Travis. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
We're going to Wendy's for a new treat called the Limited Edition Bacon Mozzarella Burger. Now, as you know, on Munch Squad, we're not really interested with the feedback on a product. We're kind of more interested in what the experts who create these products have to say. I got two paragraphs from the press release. This just dropped May 24th, so this is like hot off the presses, off the PR Newswire.
And they cook them on the same grill as those delicious Wendy's burgers.
This is literally, these two are verbatim. Wendy's just shocked fans by dropping its previously, I know.
What the fuck is this?
Wendy's, no, not like this.
Just shocked its fans by dropping its previously unannounced limited edition bacon mozzarella burger.
You're not Beyonce. This
with
is
an
not
hour-long
Lemonade.
Music video experience on HBO.
What is sure to be a chart topper on its long list of hits.
A chomp topper.
A chomp topper.
This is going to fly straight up the iTunes burger charts.
I'm going to tell you guys about the burger, and then we'll get a quote from Kurt Kane, Wendy's chief concept and marketing officer. The masterpiece plays tribute to Wendy's biggest, most classic stars, like thick-cut apple wood smoked bacon and fresh, never-frozen North American beef. Quick side note, just for legal reasons, should be noted that fresh beef is available in the contiguous U.S. and Canada. So, sorry about your luck, Hawaii and Alaska. You're getting that old shit. However, Wendy's
that
bacon
mozzarella beef.
That aged beef, classic aged, always frozen. However, Wendy's bacon mozzarella burger puts a new spin on things by collaborating with flavors such as creamy.
What? Hold on, what?
Well, you know, that creamy flavor.
With creamy sweet notes of natural mozzarella cheese. Mozzarella. This harmonizes with sliced red onions, spring mix, and a garlic parmesan cheese spread. All tied together. I know what you're thinking. Man, I really like the cheese on this burger. Can we get a cheese spread on here too? Indeed you can. All tied together with toasted garlic brioche bun. The burger redefines a genre we all thought we knew. And this hit is only available for a limited time. So in the two things, first thing is that in the like marketing of this product, there's some key art here that is supposed to advertise this product. And for some reason, continuing with this frankly insane theme that they've created, they have made the key art for this product look like a CD case. This CD case
this has to be like the language that they've used has to be like a Beyonce Lemonade goof, right?
Oh God, yes.
So Travis, I've sent you a link to this product.
Oh, Jesus.
If you could just dip right in there and give me some of the track listings and artists.
Absolutely can't. I disassociate.
Justin, please let us not jump ahead from the taste bud advisory delicious ingredients indicator on the CD, just to let you know, just in case.
Yeah.
Track number one.
Track number one is what, Trav?
Good buns, hon. Parentheses intro. Parentheses.
Performed by Garlic Brioche Bun and written by That Soft Taste.
Hit it, Garlic Brioche. Hit it, Garlic Brioche Bun.
Is this that new That Soft Taste track?
Is this Sia? No, it's That Soft Taste.
Track number two, Trav, what is it?
Spread It On, performed by Garlic Parmesan Cheese Spread, written by The Condiments. Now, I would like to point out, it's just occurred to me, that this is like a Now That's What I Call Music, a burger compilation CD, because these are all different artists and writers.
The third is Tears of Joy, performed by Red Onion. Written by Mother Nature.
Show me fucking like a painting of Mother Gaia floating over a Wendy's. Like, oh yes. Y'all heard my mixtape? It is fire.
Trev, what's that fourth track?
So Fresh and So Green.
Somebody spent a long time designing this CD thing. I guarantee fucking you, we are the only people to ever do a deep dive into the track list.
Yeah, whoever wrote this is like, nobody's fucking reading this shit. I just want to get out of here. It's Friday. A Gooey, performed by Mozzarella Cheese and written by Au Naturel.
Oh, Justin, you skipped That Oven Lovin', a terrifying, terrifying term.
Now, is that the one performed by Applewood Smoked Bacon? I love their shit.
Written by the Thick Cuts? It is.
Yeah, the Thick Cuts. Track number seven is We Can't Freeze, We Won't Freeze, performed by North American Beef, written by 100% Fresh, Never Frozen. And then there is just in this like fucking...
they're on some Outcast shit.
They definitely do have the asterisk there to reiterate that 100% Fresh, Never Frozen Beef is only available in the contiguous U.S. and Canada. Just super want to make it super duper clear. Even
that's a
on
bonus.
This dumbass track listing that definitely Alaska and Hawaii are still fucked.
What you don't see on here is there's the three Burger Time, just the skits that they do in there. Just like break things up, add a little bit of narrative to the CD.
Yeah, some fun. They got Chris Tucker to come out and just like do some skits with them. And there's a Good Buns outro. And it was also written by That Soft Taste, kind of aping his own shit. Here's the quote from Kurt Kane. The bacon mozzarella is a cheeseburger lover's dream. From the first bite, this combination of fresh beef and oven-cooked bacon paired with melty mozzarella and garlic parmesan cheese spread creates a deliciously unforgettable burger. Kurt's work here is a little underwhelming. I'd like him to get with the whole pastiche.
Hey, Kurt, can I talk to you real quick? Do you have a second? Yeah, what is it, Dave? I read your quote. It's lovely. It's great. We're kind of doing a whole, like, we're dropping the birds, like a Beyonce thing, like with the album and the thing. Could you fucking get on board for 1 second, Kirk?
Kurt's original quote was like, I didn't want to do any of this. It's a fucking burger with cheese and bacon on it. Is your mind blown, America? You've got what now?
Reinventing the genre.
They are, in fact, they say it. They say they're doing that. They're doing Hi. That. They say it.
Hi, this is McDonald's. How can I help you? Hi, I just want to tell you, I need you to take all the burgers that you've already made in there and put them in the fucking garbage can. Because Wendy's just blew up the fucking game.
You've never even thought about putting bacon and cheese on your burger. But we do this. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Ronald. It's Ron. Shut it all down.
Shut it all down. We're fucking idiots.
With the bubble jug. Set it on fire. We're done with all the dumbass burgers we were making. What were we thinking? I'm so embarrassed.
Someone made this. It does look good, though. I mean, it looks like an all right burger. I think maybe for this was very good PR, obviously.
Sure. It got us talking.
I feel like the first episode of Munch Squad really got me into the idea of foods that would definitely kill a dog or a child if they got their hands on it. And I don't think this burger would do the job as much as a fried chicken taco would. Although, I don't know. There is a lot of mozzarella on here.
There's a lot of mozzarella and the sauce on there, too. It's like a lot of levels.
Is that how it is groundbreaking? Is when you're coming up with a mozzarella-based recipe, is there a number that represents how much fresh mozz goes on it? And then that number, the scale is like 1 to 6. And then Wendy's is like, we need a new burger. And it's like, well, what if we just took the mozz scale and just like threw it the fuck away and we did like 15 or 16? They're like, that would change the game, because I am looking on this, and it is a gooey baby.
That's the ninth track.
I went to Wendy's Facebook page to see if I could find some more information about this fucking jam, and it's literally all yoga videos. I don't really know what they're doing. I don't know
what they're doing. It's just pictures that their fans have posted, and it's just their skeletal bodies after they ate one of these and were just completely destroyed by how mind-blowing. Oh, my God. They've done it. I'm going to call Wendy's right now and congratulate them.
Okay. So let's hear what Wendy said.
You know what pairs really well with a Wendy's mozzarella burger?
No, Trav. I'm not quite sure.
Neither do I, Justin, because it's groundbreaking. I've never had it. But you know who does? What?
What goes well with 13 pounds of mozzarella?
I'll tell you who does know. Club W. They pair shit with shit all the time. Mostly wine. I don't think they're pairing other stuff. But maybe they do. Maybe in their free time, on the off hours, they're just pairing stuff with stuff. They're like, you know what? Hand towels go with what? Combat boots? Club W knows.
They're just Noah's arcing their way through all of existence.
They ship every character they see on every television show.
Mm-hmm. And they ship every, if they're like, I don't know, like Converse All-Stars pair great with a compound bow. I don't know. They do it, not me. And how do they do that? Well, you would think like a wine club, a wine shipment thing. They must ask me like, do you like rosé? Do you like Chardonnay? What kind of wine? No, what they do is it's genius. They have a very simple questionnaire. Stuff like, do you prefer chocolate or vanilla? That kind of thing. Do you like salty? Do you like sweet? And through that, they're able to determine your preferences and make recommendations for wine. Then that wine is shipped to you. And this is like fancy looking, incredibly like classy shit that makes you look like you know what you're doing, even though, let's be honest, you do not. And they come with cards that like tell you all about the wine, what it pairs with, when it's a good time to drink it. So you can memorize all that. And then when your friends come over, you're like, hey, do you like that wine? I know it's really great with this chicken marg pizza. I know. And then you can act like you knew it off the top of your head. And it's relatively affordable. Justin, please tell them how affordable and wonderful it is.
Well, right now, Club W is offering our listeners $20 off your first order when you go to clubw.com/mybrother. Again, go to clubw.com/mybrother and get 20% off your first order right now. And Club W will actually pay for shipping. They're shipping beloved characters. They're also shipping wine, and they'll pay for it on orders of 4 bottles or more. That address again is clubw.com/mybrother.
Just real quick, I went down a Google hole because I brought up shipping, and I just couldn't. I like it for some reason. I had this flash thought in my head of is there like a Tumblr community of people who ship Frasier characters? And the answer is there isn't. There's not.
Oh, I don't believe you, Griffin.
You don't believe it that there isn't? I mean, there is one now because I just like I feel like I just breathed it into existence. But just like I searched, I actually searched Frasier shipping Niles /
I would do Niles and Ross. Like, I just feel like there was something there, you know?
Who's Ross? Do you mean Roz? Idiot?
No. Roz, you fucking idiot.
No, I mean Ross from Friends. I just felt like there was something. Do you remember the famous Frasier-Friends crossover episode?
Our nationwide obsession was with whether or not Ross from Friends and Frasier were going to fuck. And the producers of the shows were like, this is never happening. Why are you people so obsessed with this?
That doesn't make sense. I'm not even sure they're on the same network.
The episode was 15 seconds long. A wormhole opened up and sucked them both into a single room. And then Ross walked up to Frasier and he just went, I don't want to fuck you. And then bow, 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 big bow. And put inside. Seinfeld theme. I don't want to fuck you either. I want to tell you about some underwear I'm wearing right now. They are MeUndies, and you just can't stop thinking about.
Hi, is this People Magazine? Yes, it is. Hi, this is David Crane, creator of Friends. Could you do me a favor and please stop putting pictures of Ross from our show and Frasier on the cover of your magazine with a big question mark and pictures of kisses? Because it's not happening. I'm over it. We're all really over it. It's not happening. I don't know how this got started. It's never happening.
Hi, it's me, David Angel. Could you keep putting creator of Frasier? Could you keep putting those pictures on? It is doing gangbusters for our ratings. Thank you so much.
That explains why everybody's watching Frasier because they kept watching for Ross to show up and fuck him.
Everyone's favorite friend, Ross. Is he going to be on here?
It's the new will they, won't they, can they? Because of the dimensions.
Well, because they're two men, Justin. You're unfucking believable. I have a sponsor here. It's MeUndies, and it's underwear I'm literally wearing right now because they're the most comfortable, most wonderful underwear in the universe. They are soft. They breathe real nice. I was on a plane today. I try to wear them on a plane whenever I can because they don't bunch up and get all yucky. It's made from a sustainably sourced modal fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. Just nothing can describe how good they feel. MeUndies is dedicated to providing the world's most comfortable underwear. If you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. No questions asked. MeUndies has dozens of styles and limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear, whether anyone can see them or not. Shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada. You can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. Get the subscription or a single pair. Get 20% off your first order if you just go to MeUndies.com/mybrother. Again, that's MeUndies.com/mybrother. 20% off your first order. They're really, really great. I guarantee you, you will not regret getting these underwear and putting them on your body.
I have got a Jumbotron message, and it's for Mike and Allie, or Mally, as I like to call them. And it's from Chris. And Chris says, to my dearest friends, you have been my closest friends for over 10 years now, and I want to congratulate you on your nuptials with the help of the dulcet tones of the McElroy brothers. From our times in Peterborough at PR13, was that like their training camp? To Toronto and everywhere else, thank you for being a friend and for letting me be a part of your lives and your wedding.
That sounds nice.
What is PR13, nice. You guys?
It's definitely some sort of secret underground laboratory.
Maybe a public school, probably?
No.
No, then, it's definitely.
Then it would Omega be called virus. Like the Alexander Hamilton School for the Gifted.
Okay, that's true. Probably true.
I think they were developing the Andromeda strain.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking, you ever look up in the sky and you see the those white like straight lines up there? Those are called chemtrails, you guys, and they're no joke.
Okay,
they're serious business.
What and do I they think, do?
Exactly. What do they do? I think Chris, Mike, and Ali owe us an explanation.
What are you hiding?
What are you hiding, Chris, Mike, and Ali?
And what aren't you hiding? I've got a message here for Cade, and it's from Grace. And Grace says to Cade, happy birthday. Wishing you a steady flow of creative energy and drive this year. Thank you for being a wonderful partner and housemate and for introducing me to the McElroy family of products. I love you, and so does the cat, to whatever extent a cat can feel love. So not very much.
I like that. I like that they said that, like, as much as the cat can, it is. Like, we're not going to say that the cat's not feeling love. We just don't know what level of love the cat might be feeling. They need a flow of creative energy and drive. We're going to give them that blockbuster million-dollar idea right now. Griffin, say any word. Go.
Jungle?
Now, Justin, say a word.
Please say bungle. Two. No, okay, Jungle Bungle's very good. Damn it.
Okay, Jungle Bungle Pants. Go.
Oh, no, you shouldn't have added the pants to it. Jungle Bungle is perfect, Travi.
Jungle Bungle's great.
But then we don't each get to say a word. You can't take my ability to say a word.
Travis, listen. Just put an exclamation point there.
Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah. Jungle Bungle 2.
The sequel to Jungle to Jungle, which I know it's fucking confusing, guys. Hollywood.
Because the 2 was already in there. What the fuck, Jungle 2 Jungle?
Jungle Bungle, !3. The second Jungle to Jungle movie starring Tim Allen again.
I got a message for you, the listener, and it's about the Useless Majors, which is a scripted narrative podcast following a group of recent college graduates who, after an accident involving radioactive diplomas, receive superpowers based on their majors.
That's a fucking good idea for a thing. Great
fucking premise.
I'll just, Cade, take that. Do that one.
As evil forces conspire to take over the world, our heroes have found themselves working at the mall with the help of robots, witches, ghosts of U.S. presidents, and other crazy characters. Can our heroes save the day? That's good. That puts suspense right in there. And you could subscribe to the Useless Majors podcast on iTunes, or you can go to uselessmajors.com and you can subscribe there. It looks like they're on there. 9th episode over there, so it's not too late to catch up and go do it. Go for it. Check it out, The Useless Majors.
What would my superpower be? Journalisming.
You'd be able to find the truth in all things.
Oh fuck, that would be good.
Yeah.
But also I would like wear shorts but like suit tops and I would be kind of a jag.
I have a drama degree or an acting and directing degree, so my superpower would be to live at my parents' house for a few months just so I can figure some things out.
Yep.
You'd be like Rogue because you'd get a different superpower eventually. Your superpower as an acting major would be you eventually would change to a different superpower.
It's the superpower to have another superpower but keep telling people about the superpower you used to do.
For free now?
You're like Phoenix. You're like Jean Grey. You transform at some point.
Mm-hmm. I summon ice crystals from thin air now, kind of just for me, like on a more personal level.
In the community.
I got out in the community. I kind of got out of the rat race with that power.
By which I mean fighting the race of rat men that I used to battle, but I wasn't making any money off of them. You know that whole thing.
You know how it goes. I recently achieved a pretty major adult milestone, moving into my first apartment. I'm lucky enough to have a job that allows me to live alone, and that has been quite possibly the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. The only problem is my mother, who lives in the same city and wants me to give her a key. Ooh. I have no real reason to say no. The landlord said I could make as many copies as I want, and I don't have a roommate whose privacy I must preserve, but I really want to say no. I feel like in giving my mother a key, I'll be losing some of my newfound independence. Does this make me a terrible daughter? Should I give her a key and suck it up? Or if I say no, how do I say no? Help from Caitlin. Huh. The implication, I think, if you give your mom a key, I mean, the implication of that is like, I at any point want you there when I am not, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Not necessarily,
Well, not to rush it, but I feel like Caitlin, like, you need to achieve a second adult milestone, and that is to be direct with a parent.
Yeah.
And, like, if you give her a key, you have to say, like, I'm giving you this, but this is for emergencies only.
It's not like you're going to fucking get home from work and go to open up a cold soda and be like, oh, no, my mom came over and drank it all. Like, I don't think that's what's going to... She'll probably call, you know?
I don't know, Griffin, because I would feel like if that was the case, Caitlin wouldn't be worried about it. The very fact that Caitlin felt the need to, like, write in and ask us about it implies to me that there's at least some doubt in her mind that her mom will not understand the boundaries and will see it as, like, an extension of the house that they lived in together.
The fact that you, yeah, I guess the fact that you, like, have to think about this, like, you gotta, a door is a good boundary. A locked door is a good boundary. But there's better ones you can establish sort of in the immaterial space in your relationship, and those are also very important boundaries. But don't lock those up. I've been Dr. Phil.
I think that's by saying something along the lines of, like, this is for emergencies only, and then if she abuses that, you can say, I told you that's an invasion of my privacy, Mom. Like, I told you that this was for emergencies only. Please don't abuse it. But if you aren't direct up front, you don't have any case later. You know what I mean? You have to say, like, I'm giving you this, but, like, it's for emergencies only, okay?
This is silly, though. Because, like, if you're worried about your mom, like, just dropping in, she doesn't really need a key because your mom is an international jewel thief and cat burglar. No, she'll just, like, come over. It's like knock on the door, and he'd be like, no, I don't want you to come in. Like,
ooh,
that's not
an excellent point.
Yeah. The key is not the thing.
If your fear is in doing it, just like you giving her a key is somehow giving up some. Let me tell you, someone who's lived in a lot of apartments, I'm always glad when someone has an extra key. When I lose my key or lock myself out, or I need someone to, like, go take care of something when I'm, like, out of town.
Yeah, my mother-in-law didn't have a key to our house for a while, and then when we needed her to feed our cats because we got a flight canceled or something, she ended up having to shove turkey slices through the mail slot, which is not great for cats.
Oh, my God.
She's still doing it to this day.
You've ruined the idea of the mailman to your cat. Every time your cat hears the mail come in, it's like, oh, boy, another turkey delivery
for me. Oh, hell yeah. I have a fucking good answer to this, you guys. You ready?
Yes.
You're gonna love this. Fake key.
Jesus.
Give her a key that doesn't work in the lock. And then if she tries to break into your house when you don't want her there, she'll have to say to you, hey, that key didn't work because I was trying to break into your house. You'll never hear about it. If she tries to get in at a time when, like, you really wish she could get in, you can just say, like, Dunk, I'm sorry. I guess it was, like,
I didn't test it before I gave it to you.
Yeah, I should have tested it before I gave it to you. I'll know for next time.
Looks like Home Depot really wanged it on this one. Oh, well, too bad my cat is dead. This was a bad prank on myself and my cat.
Sorry, cat.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Sure.
We crushed that one. We deserve a little treat.
This one's for us.
This one's for us.
You got to do one for them and one for you. That's the Hollywood way.
Rachel Rosing sent this one in Game Recognized Game. Thank you, Rachel. It's an obvious troll, so I want to just blow through it and get to a good one, but it's from Yahoo Answers user Mr. Brightside, who asks, how many calories are in a 2016 Silverado HD pickup truck? And I included it. I included it because the answer is so good. It's from Gabe, who says, this is my favorite question of all time. Answer, enough. This one was sent in by Lindsay Waterman, though. Thank you, Lindsay. It's by Yahoo Answers user Sarah, who asks, what is the cutest way to cuss? We are really going to earn that explicit tag with this segment, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Put the kids to bed. It's about to get blue.
Oh, bubble jugs.
Dude, she had the choicest bubble jugs.
Did you check out the bubble jugs on her?
So fucking juicy, dude.
Wait, are you suggesting that Pauly D voice is the cutest way to cuss?
Let me try again. I was trying to do baby Pauly D.
Yeah, need to refine this character. Do more baby, less Pauly D.
Yo, dude, she had the biggest bubble jugs. I loved them. It's me, baby Pauly D. Gin chip. Jim Tan Laundry Nap. GTLN. Ta-ta for now. I love Tigger.
I made boom boom in my diaper. Look at the jugs.
Made a boom boom.
I love breastfeeding for a lot of reasons.
Why don't you guys come over? We'll make some minestrone and then blend it up. I ain't got teeth.
Don't leave me in the hot tub. I'm a baby.
Gotta love me.
Not the mama. Please, please, God, I hope so. I forgot the question.
What's the cutest way to cuss? Like a baby version of a jolly Jersey Shore character.
This is tough because are we talking like non-cuss word cuss words? Or are we talking like, oh, fuck? Like, what's the cutest way to deliver a cuss word? Or what's the cutest non-cuss word cuss word?
Let me just blast through some of these answers because Terrence J's future girlfriend says there isn't a cute way to cuss because cussing is not attractive. Sing
wrong.
It.
Oh, shit.
Wrong.
These are ugly words.
But when someone can really like stick the landing on a good curse word, aren't you like, damn, that I felt that from over here?
When my baby drops a popsicle on the ground, and she looks at it and she gives it the perfect amount of breathing room and then just says, shit.
That might actually be it.
It's actually like a really cute way of cussing because like I don't care. Like, I don't care if she cusses. She's a baby. She'll just drop it on the ground and look at it and go, ah, shit.
I don't like when I get on Facebook and I see a little video and the parents are like, obviously, like, they've developed some sort of Pavlovian response in their kids to make them say the word fuck for candy or something like that. Like they can, and it's like, I can tell what you're doing there. And it's like, great. That's going to be great viral content. But that's not, I don't like that. I don't think I like that. Fuck. Get it? He said fuck. I did get it, but I don't like it. I like that ugly word. I do like that ugly word. But you gotta use it responsibly.
My problem with children and cussing is that I think the exact age at which I will probably need to teach my daughter restraint and profanity is the exact age where she'll look me fucking dead in the eye and say, you make your living saying dick into a microphone. Get out of my fucking face, old man.
What? I was just thinking about this, and this is weird. Nobody really says the word bastard anymore. Saying it feels weird. When I say it, I feel like Christopher Guest's character in Waiting for Guffman.
You're bastard people.
You're just bastard.
You are. You're bastard people. Bastard.
There's
people.
There's other words that have substituted that. Like you're a piece of shit.
I think part of what has ruined it is Game of Thrones, because bastard, we are reminded, has a very literal meaning that show uses quite literally. Like it's not a generic. You know, it has been reclaimed by real bastard.
Everyone, say it. Say it.
Bastard.
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 It sounds weird. Maybe it's got turd in it. I don't know what it is, but it's maybe we bastard. Bring this week. It's all bastards and bubble jugs. That's what we're bringing back.
Bastard.
It's getting really worried. We weren't gonna have an episode title in there, but there I think is. Bastards and bubble
bastard.
Jugs.
Bastard.
What do you guys think? We got time for another question, or what do you want to do? Yeah. One of my coworkers recently invited me to celebrate her impending. Actually, you know what? Before I read this, Travis, what's the best one that we haven't done yet?
That one.
Okay. One of my coworkers recently invited me to celebrate her impending marriage with a day at the spa. This would be fine, except that this particular spa requires all patrons to be completely naked at all times.
Oh, nice.
So fucking choice.
I see all these boobies walking around. I'm like, lunch.
Get out them bubble jugs.
Get them bubble jugs out, mommy. Are you my mommy, by the way? I meant to ask.
I'm so other scared.
People, I'm so scared. All the lights are so bright. Other people.
Loud noises.
Loud noises.
My mommy went around a corner and she stopped existing. Yo.
Yo. Other people who be attending this get together include our boss and her husband and my coworker's fiance, who is in his 70s. My coworker and I are both in our late 20s. I want to support my friend, but I could live without exposing my business to all and sundry. Is there a way to make this less awkward? if I don't go, do I risk being alienated at work because I'm the only one who hasn't seen everybody's junk? Any advice would be appreciated. That's from, can I at least get a towel in New York?
I was so ready to tell this person, like, just don't go. You're an adult and you don't want to go be negative about it. But then they made the point that what if everyone's standing around the office on the following Monday having a good laugh and you're like, hey, what are you guys laughing about? And they're like, you wouldn't understand. You didn't see Todd's penis. Like,
Todd's penis becomes the office in joke.
Yo, Todd, how's that weird ball?
You got me again. Wait, what's up with this ball? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
You really had to be there and see Todd's ball.
What the fuck's wrong with you asking a question like that?
I'll see Todd's ball now. No, it was the context. Like,
Todd, get your ball out right now.
I'm sick of you guys holding Todd's ball over my head.
He's very flexible. I'll give you that. And you're all very strong to lift Todd's ball all the way up there.
But it's there, but then I turn around and he's covered it and I'm sick of it.
Thank you, Susan, for coming to your annual review. Boy, it's been kind of a weird year, huh? thick document this year, huh, Susan? Kind of a weird one, huh? Kind of wacky.
It just seems like it's a back and forth of HR complaints. You and Todd and you. It seems endless. You need to let go of this whole Todd's weird ball thing. Yeah, but like, what is it?
We put this one into arbitration, and they have actually sided with you. Todd, get that nut out.
I need to know. It's a telltale ball. I need to know about it. It's driving me crazy.
I wonder if when these people are back at the office and if it's just them in a meeting, do you think it crosses their mind like, why are we wearing clothes? Why are we wasting our time here? It's super casual, right?
Friday.
This is super duper casual Friday.
First, I mean, the good advice that's going to help get you through this is just like, close your eyes, repeat after me. I'm just hot tubbing in the Japanese style. They don't let you cover up your ding dong over there. And you don't know what it's weird to be in a place where you don't understand the language and you know just the baseline of the cultural norms, and then you are also put into situations where there's just everybody, it is just a brain convention. You know what I mean?
You know what? Griffin, you have changed my mind, because I joked at the beginning that you should just not go, but like, it's not like you've been invited to an Eyes Wide Shut orgy. Like, everyone's just going to be naked. It's going to be okay. Maybe you should just go and expand your perception of humanity and like the human body.
No, the human body is beautiful, but I'm not. I get that like some people are uncomfortable with this. Truth be told, I was wicked, very wholly uncomfortable with the wholeness of my being. I just thought I'd try it because I was in Japan. I don't think I would do it if I was just like in some spa in New York State. But I think if you get that in that mindset, it might help out.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't think it's going to hurt you.
It's the coworkers that is the bad thing. I don't think it's the being nude around other people. Like, fuck that, whatever. It's the being around the coworkers. I'm thinking about it now with my coworkers. Like, that's going to be an uncomfy Monday, isn't it? Like, if I was Garfield, I would hate that Monday extra.
But what if it's, like, the biggest team-building exercise, though? Like, you think, like, oh, this is going to be so uncomfortable Monday. But actually, Monday is the first time you finally have the confidence to, like, tell Derek that you don't like when he listens to NPR in the morning because you're just trying to, like, warm up and have some coffee. And he's, like, blasting Car Talk or whatever. I take that back because Car Talk is amazing. But maybe it's the first time that you feel comfortable saying something because you've seen his butthole.
Just because you've seen Derek's butthole, you can finally be like, ugh. Fuck Car Talk. Oh, God, that feels good. Derek, your butthole gave me the confidence.
Thanks for getting that bad boy out.
We've got nothing left to hide from each other, Derek. I hate Car Talk.
Nobody hates Car Talk.
Nobody hates Car Talk. It's so good.
I don't know what to tell you. Because, like, I would get in any spa. Anytime I'm offered a spa, a trip, I take it every time. I treat myself. I don't know if I've talked to you guys about this. I treat myself to a massage every month. I found a little massage place nearby. It does them pretty cheap. Get an hour, deep tissue every month. Just do a little something. It's like the detective guy from Twin Peaks said in that one scene where you got to do something for yourself every day. And for me, it's once a month and I get a massage. So treat yourself to that. Enjoy the experience, the luxury of that. But I don't know how you get past the fact that you're going to see your boss's 70-year-old balls.
I'll tell you, I think this is the question you got to ask yourself. Are you okay with 70-year-old balls? Are you sitting there thinking, I would go, but I'm afraid it's uncomfortable? Or are you thinking, I have 100,000% zero interest in going? Like,
yeah, good question, Trav.
Yeah, if it's just like, you know what, I would go, but I'm afraid it's going to be uncomfortable, you should go. If you're like, I do not want to go at all, you have complete autonomy over your life. Do not go to that thing.
It's not, it's going to, you've just pitched a scenario where there's a chance it won't be uncomfortable. And to me, I just like to play that scene out where you come out of the dressing room nude in the spa zone and everyone's just like, yeah, cool.
Everybody sees your boss and they're like, I love how old it is down there.
I like how mature and wizened it is.
Greg, I've never seen one like that before. Neat. Have a seat next to me.
You did great with your testicles.
Neat balls, Greg.
Those testicles are besticles. Sit on down. But be careful.
But be careful. You don't want to belvedere yourself. At 70, the leading causes of trauma is falling. Just they're always just falling down. But the other one is belvedering. I'd like for you both to read these pamphlets.
I don't know what it is, and I'm afraid to ask.
The worst part is at that age, if you sit on a rod, they'll just pop. Like an, like an overripe grape. Just like, and you'll hear that noise, you'll know.
And then it'll definitely be awkward.
Then it'll be super awkward.
This pamphlet is called Streaks on the Epididymis, and it's important you read it from cover to cover. The life you save, the life you save might be your own.
So this has been our podcast, my brother, and me. We hope you had fun.
Got the little checklist here. I'm checking Epididymis off it. Said that on the show. Okay, here we go.
Guess what? We're coming this weekend to New York and DC. Tickets to that are sold out. But if you're coming to those shows, get fucking ready to get weird because it's going to be fun.
But guess what? Even more.
Guess what? Even more. Got more shows. What? July the 15th and 16th, the three of us are going to be performing in Boston at the Wilbur Theater. Because Boston asked for it, so we're making it happen. We've never,
now, Justin.
Rest of the country, I get it. The rest of the country, I get it. Like, I know that we're kind of sticking to the Upper East Coast a little bit here, but it was we've never done Boston before, like ever. And the demand there is very enthusiastic. And so we're just going to, like, knock it out, give Boston the best night of their lives, two nights of their lives.
But and, the coolest part about this is that, so the Saturday, which is the... That's the 16th, right? I'll look at a calendar here, make sure I'm saying this right. That can't be right. The 15th and 16th. The 16th, we are going to be performing My Brother, and Me.
I've heard of that Wilbur podcast. Theater.
Yeah, it's this one. And Travis, what's the link if people want to buy tickets to that?
That is bit.ly/MBMBAM Boston. All lowercase.
They will go on sale very soon. They will go on sale
Wednesday at noon Eastern.
That's going to be at the Wilbur Theater in Boston. Those tickets will go on sale, what did we say just now?
Wednesday, noon Eastern. So Wednesday, June 1st, noon Eastern time.
Let me put it this way. Our show in New York was at a slightly larger venue, and it sold out in 2 hours. So please... Or like 3 hours. Please don't sleep on that. Please, if you want tickets, just buy them and come because it's going to be fun. Now, here's the crazier part. The day before that, on Friday, we're doing our first ever publicly attendable live episode of The Adventure Zone.
We did one at LA Podfest that was only available if you were attending Podfest. It was crazy. It was a crazy good time. And now we're opening it up to everyone in Boston this and the surrounding area. I mean,
My Brother, Me is fun, but the Adventure Zone is going to be a visual spectacle. There are costumes. That's all I'm saying. There are costumes and props.
And there's a very good chance that our dad will be there because he's like in it.
And there's a great chance I'm going to be like super nervous.
You don't want to miss that. And if you have any interest in that, if you're like, it can't, like, I cannot foresee live Adventure Zones being something that we do a lot. So like, if you can get there, please get there because there will not be a lot of opportunities in like all of your life.
It's a really hard, it's a very, very difficult show to do live. Super duper hard. So we don't do them that often. I'm excited to do this one, though. I've got a great idea for it.
And those tickets are available at bit.ly/TazBoston.
That was a hint. That was a hint, by the way, about what the episode will be about.
I see. We're also working on a deal. So each of those, the tickets are, I believe, $26 total or $26. And we're doing the plus one thing again. So one of those dollars will be donated to a charitable cause.
But it's called Branches. It's a domestic violence shelter here in Huntington.
We're working on a deal where you can get tickets to both shows for $40 total, but there will be a limited amount of those, I think 250 total. You can get the combo tickets at bit.ly/BostonCombo, all lowercase. And like I said, there's a limited amount of those. You can still buy tickets to both even after those have sold out. But if you're looking to maybe capitalize on the fact that we're doing two shows in the same town back to back, you're going to want to move on those combo tickets pretty quickly.
Now, the Boston combo is also my favorite sexual act. Uh-huh. And let me describe to you what goes into it.
I'd rather we didn't. Thanks to John Rodgers and the Long Winders for the use of the theme song as a departure off the album, Putting the Days to Bed.
Like we said earlier, we've got those live shows coming up this weekend. So please send in Yahoos and questions and label them DC and NYC in the subject line. And we're going to have, audience questions, live audience questions. So start thinking about what those questions are going to be. One rule, of course, no bummers.
Yeah.
Also, just keep in mind, just to get it out there, we always intend on doing meet and greets, but now we're traveling with like a basically 2-year-old child and my pregnant wife. And so I can't guarantee that everyone will be in a physical shape to do a meet and greet. So if we do not, I so apologize. I just want to get it out there that there is a possibility that we do not, but we're definitely going to try to.
Yeah. We try not to be asked. Like, I want to, but we have basically become the fucking traveling Wilburys at this point. Like, it is such a ginormous family affair. And,
especially since both shows will be 3 shows in one.
Yeah,
it'll probably go a little bit later than normal, and I just can't guarantee that we'll be able to stick around for hours and hours afterwards.
We'll try to holler. I don't want to poo-poo it. Do you guys want this final Yahoo, though?
Hell yeah.
I want to say one thing before we go. Check out all the other Max Fun shows, including a brand new show. If you like the TV show Adam Ruins Everything or the web series Adam Ruins Everything, Max Fun is now host to the Adam Ruins Everything podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So basically they take, so for example, they did an episode about like transit and cars. So in that, Adam gets to talk to an expert for like 3 minutes on the TV show. Well, so for the podcast, he gets back in touch with that expert and they talk about like transit for like an hour so that he really gets to pick the brain of an expert, and it's on Maximum Fun. So check it out.
That's very exciting. All right. Final Yahoo. This one was sent in by Aaron Keyes. Thank you, Aaron Keyes. It's by seriously, start thinking about a nickname. Getting a lot of Aaron Keyes action. Aaron Keyes tweeted that she hated the term Keister. So that one's not going to stick.
Okay.
That's out.
Keymaster.
Keep on cranking away on it. Okay.
Great. Keesper, the friendly ghost.
Okay. Keesper Sutherland. The fuck are we doing here? This Yahoo Answers user Sweeney Todd asked this one. Sweeney Todd asked, how creative is Kid Rock?
I'm Justin McElroy, and the bacon mozzarella burger is available in Wendy's now.
I'm Travis McElroy. Happy Memorial Day.
I'm Griffin McElroy. 420 Blaze It. Fuck.
Kiss your dad's grandma lips.